Starting a new series called Redline, and check this out. There's a little video out to kind of whet your appetite a little bit.
So just what is red line anyway? Is it running full tilt all the time? Like our lives represented like red lines on a speedometer? Is it going here and there, thither and hither, so fast and furious that you have little if any time to breathe, let alone to reflect on the meaning and purpose of life? Life composed of a sequence of foot on the gas pedal series of events in which you go from one thing to the next with nary an opportunity for a family meal or a family conversation of any substance or time to collectively or individually really focus on your direction in life or the purpose of those activities or that busyness in your life. What is the collective benefit? Ever stop to ponder those things? Regardless of your life situation, whether your family is a family of one or a multitude or whatever it might be, is there busyness in your life that is so consuming it feels like you are that red line existence of here and there and everywhere without real purpose, running ragged? Regardless of the circumstances of your family or your individual life situation, have you slowed enough or given thoughtful consideration or pause to consider purpose, the purpose of your life?
Well,
I can't find one.
I don't know. I never thought about.
I really don't know.
Sometimes I think maybe it's to get it right.
I think it's very fluid, but I think the purpose of life basically is to contribute to society in the best way you know how.
Raise a family, have grandchildren.
To make the planet a better place than it was previously.
Connect with something that's bigger than yourself.
To glorify God on a daily basis and to essentially work to kind of become our best selves that we can and fulfill that potential that God gave us when he created us.
For one, to be happy and to make happy the people you have around and to tell how much you love them.
Maybe just helping another person. If I can help one other life, then that would fulfill my purpose.
My belief is that I was created to worship Allah, or if that's the Arabic word for God.
To live like a good life and just leave with some sort of mark on history and just have somebody remember me.
Do our best to get to heaven is bring as many people as we can with us.
Pursuing what you really want to do.
There's not really a specified meaning or a specified purpose.
I guess that everyone comes up with that for themselves.
So if someone asked you to articulate your purpose, how would you do? How would that go for you? It's okay to be busy, right? I think that's a good thing. Many, if not most, if not all of us live busy lives, but busy without purpose, what does that really look like? And is that who God created us to be? One of the joys of serving as a pastor way back when was I got to do a lot of youth ministry, and it was so fun. We were taking kids on retreats and going to Bible camps and work camps and all those kinds of things like we do here at Good Shepherd. And I'm so grateful for the incredible youth leaders, the student ministry leaders, the children's ministry leaders, the family life leaders who do such a phenomenal job of that here. When I was leading youth student ministry, we would go to places like the mountains, and we went to youth gatherings involving thousands, if not tens of thousands, of Lutheran youth in wonderful places. And one of the things that was good about it was that not only did we get great opportunities for incredible experiences, but there was time built in to pause and consider purpose. And I know that happens in student ministry, family life ministry here at Good Shepherd. I'm so grateful for that. Among my favorite student ministry adventures was when we would take kids to the boundary waters of northern Minnesota, with its crystal clear waters and its pristine natural landscape. It was wonderful. It was great. It gave us opportunity to think about purpose when we were in that setting. And sometimes it gave us opportunity to think about survival in that setting. And that became our purpose oftentimes, but those are stories for another time. If we were to survive, we learned that one of the things that was absolutely necessary was to be able to navigate, to read the lay of the land, to be able to read a map, to be able to read a compass. This is back before the days that our cell phones had GPS on them. And even cell phones today up in those areas are of limited value. It's a long ways between cell towers up there. So we learned to navigate if we were going to survive. We learned to do that because it was necessary if we're going to find our way back home. We had to know how to navigate. I think that God does that for us, spiritually speaking. God gives us navigational tools. I think God's word is a great compass for our lives. God's word is a great way for God, spiritually, scripturally speaking, for us to have navigational tools for life itself. And there's a couple of places that really highlight God's navigational tools. I like to think of them as the two greats, the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. The Great Commandment goes like this. Most, if not many, if not all of you have heard this. And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that Jesus answered them well, asked them, "So which commandment is the first of all?" Jesus answered, "The first is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There's no other commandment greater than these." The scribe said to him, "You're right, teacher." I think that's kind of cute. The scribe telling Jesus he's right. "You have truly said that he is one and that there is no one other but he. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding, with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is much more than burnt offerings and sacrifices." And when Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, Jesus said to him, "You're not far from the kingdom of God." And after that, no one dared ask him any more questions. So the great commandment, a great compass for life: love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That commandment gives us direction and purpose in life. Likewise does the Great Commission. The Great Commission in Matthew 28. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always to the very end of the age." Those are great compass markings for us in life. Rick Warren, when reflecting upon these words of Scripture, said this: "Nothing matters more than knowing God's purpose for your life, and nothing can compensate for not knowing it." Have you thought about that lately? Nothing compares or matters more than knowing God's purpose for your life, and nothing can compensate for not knowing it. One of the things we as pastors get to do a lot of is weddings. I love weddings. I love getting to know the couple. I love getting to know their families. And it seems that almost every wedding, there's something of great significance that I come away with. There was some event or some experience that was just a cherished moment. And one of those that I'm remembering today is when the father, who'd done his best along with his wife to raise their children in a Christian home, in a setting, so the kids would know their purpose for living and for life. I remember at the reception, the dad saying, quoting from Scripture, that passage in which he says, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." It begins by saying, "Choose this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." He was wishing, really asking or adding a blessing to their life, saying, in your new home, in your new relationship, in your new family that you're creating, I hope that among all the different things which you could serve, that probably would become a red line in your life that would keep you going hither and thither, I hope that you always choose to serve the Lord. He used that as a way of bringing focus and purpose into their lives. Louis Giglio, when commenting on this subject, said this: "Whenever you say yes to something, there is less of you for something else. So make sure your yes is worth the less." Wise, wise words. How does that fit with your red line, the red line in your life? Is that a good measuring stick as we discern decisions for our lives? You know, this last week we observed a significant event in our nation's and really our world's life, didn't we? When we observed 9/11, here at Good Shepherd we had an encounter healing service, and remembering 9/11 was an important part of that, asking God for healing. 17 years later, still asking God for healing. Healing at that service for physical healing, mental healing, emotional, spiritual healing, and also healing as a nation. You know, one of the things that happened 17 years ago, right after 9/11, churches were jam-packed. People flocked back to churches in droves. Attendance had not been like that in churches for quite some time. Churches were jam-packed, and it remained that way for some time. But over the course of 17 years, attendance at worship nationwide as a whole nation has ebbed and eroded. Back then, 17 years ago, a regular worshiper worshiped at least 3-4 times a month, always at church, unless you were sick, or unless maybe you had an event you had to go to and took you away. Now, the national average for worship attendance is 1.7. There's been an erosion of worship attendance nationwide. Not that worship attendance is the only measuring stick. It's not. But it can be an indicator of what's going on in our lives. One of our members, who was very active here a while ago before he relocated up to Michigan in the summertime and Florida in the winter after his retirement. His name is Mark Willis, and he gave me permission to share this. Mark, very, very successful businessman. He did well. In his earlier life, Mark was a football player. He played for a team many of you are familiar with. They're known as the Chicago Bears. He was a backup linebacker to Dit Butkus, which means, in Mark's words, he didn't get on the field very much during game day. Didn't happen much. Butkus was usually out there. But he was good enough to make it onto the team and to be a backup. So he got to run the scout plays a lot in practice. And he's a big, strong guy. Still is. Big, strong guy. A guy with purpose. A guy with focus. A guy who, for whom Christ is an important part of his life, and Sandy's life, his wife as well. Well, they relocated, and not long ago, they had a bad storm up in Michigan. It was brought a lot of destruction, a lot of tree limbs went down, and Mark has a place where he's got some acreage, and so he was clearing some brush and doing some work to make things better, and there was a tree that had been compromised by the storm. And as he was clearing it, this tree, unbeknownst to him, began to topple. And it landed right on him. In fact, it hit him in the head, knocked him off the tractor. And in fact, it broke his neck. He didn't know how badly he was hurt. Big, strong guy, able to do a lot. He got back on his four-wheeler, made it back to his house, called his wife, who was shopping for groceries. She came, went to the hospital, little hospital in rural Michigan, and the doctor there immobilized the neck right away, took an x-ray and saw that it was broken. He said, I can't help you like they can help you down in Chicago. We need to get you down there as quickly as we can. Took him down to Chicago. It's the orthopedic surgeon for the Chicago Bears that worked on Mark. And as he worked on him and he immobilized his neck, he said, Mark, you don't know how lucky you are. He said, the break is a clean break, which doesn't sound very good to me, but it was good news because there was not displaced bone. It was a clean break. He said, Mark, just so you know how lucky you are, you came within 1 millimeter of being paralyzed from the neck down. 1 millimeter. So I talked to Mark this last week, and he said, you know, Pastor, I think that God was speaking to me. These are his words. I think God was telling me to slow down, to think about what's really important, how I'm using my time. Are there some better ways? This is a man who walks a Christian walk, but he's analyzing, he's thinking, he's reflecting. Are there some better ways for God to work in my life and through my life for the sake of others? I'm trying to listen carefully to what God has in store for me. You see, I believe that God gave me a second chance, 1 millimeter more, and I would have been paralyzed. Why? Why did God spare me? It must be that God has purpose. Those are tough questions. Mark's reflecting on those questions all over again, thinking about his purpose for life. Was he living life too close to the red line? That's something Mark and God are going to have to work out. But as I reflected on our conversation, I thought about that in my own life, and I wondered about that for all of our lives. How is it that we're living our lives? And if we are too busy, is it busy with the right stuff that is aligned with God's purpose for our lives? How's that going for you? I hope that today is maybe a day to affirm, yes, I'm perfectly in sync with what God has in store for my purpose. But if it's not that for you, then hopefully today can be an opportunity to be realigned with God's purpose, to take a pause, to provide some margin between the red line and how we live our lives. So in the midst of our busyness, we can also fill that busyness with purpose. So very important. One of the events that's going to be happening here at Good Shepherd in just a couple of weeks is an event we know as Christ Renews His Parish. We call it CHIRP. And so we have women's CHIRP in the fall, and we have men's CHIRP in the spring. And so in just a couple of weeks is women's CHIRP. CHIRP is an incredible opportunity to slow down, to allow some margin, to focus on God's purpose for my life, for your life. What is it that God really has in store for you? You know, in Psalm 139, it tells us that God knew us as we were being put together in our mother's bodies. Not only did he know us and create us, but as we were being created, he was creating us with purpose. Psalm 139 goes on to say that God knows us so well that he knows what we think before we think it, what we say before we say it, and what we do before we do it, all within the context of his eternal love and purpose for our lives. CHIRP is an opportunity. Christ Jesus Parish, an opportunity to reflect. If you've not yet signed up, I encourage you to do so. There's a place for you out in the narthex beyond the cafe for you to do that, to sign up, to take that opportunity to reflect upon what God's purpose is for your life, to be realigned with God's purpose. Another thing that I'm so grateful that Good Shepherd does and does well is these mission trips that we go on, whether it's work camp or whether it's the retreats or the mission trips to faraway places like Honduras and Guatemala and Africa and Haiti. And one of the things that happens is that not only do we get to care for God's people, but in the midst of caring, there's time for pause. Time to pause and think again and reflect upon who am I in the context of who God created me to be and God's purpose for my life. And those mission trips are great. And maybe you can't go on this particular trip that we go on in October, but or one of the other ones coming up next year. But there's opportunities to serve, like the bags that you see as you leave this place, to contribute things so that those who do go can bring purpose and healing to those who are in great need, as well as opportunity for others to focus on God's purpose for their lives. Today, at the 9:29 service, we celebrated an adult baptism. It was so cool. Sarah Nowak is here because she was invited by a friend. She grew up in a home, and she's a big Cubs fan, and so is her family. And we told her at that time that not everybody here is a Cubs fan. A lot of them, but that everybody here is a fan of Jesus Christ. And she was here to proclaim Jesus was Lord of her life. She'd been raised in a Christian home, but because they'd moved around a lot, she'd never been baptized. And due to a lot of circumstances in her life, she believed this was the time when she needed to be baptized. She wanted to be all in. And she's brought her kids to Sparks, and they're getting connected to Good Shepherd. And then an event happened in her life just a couple weeks ago where she was involved in a very serious automobile accident. The car rolled over twice. It was crushed on the top. And when the insurance adjuster and those investigating the accident looked at it, they said, never before have we seen somebody walk away from an accident like this. Sarah walked away from that accident with just a few scratches. And as she thought about that in the context of her upcoming baptism and this decision she'd already made in her life, wanting to be baptized, she realigned that again with thinking about God's purpose for her life. She's a principal in one of our elementary schools. She has purpose. But this helped focus God's purpose in her life. So one of our dear friends here, over the course of time, has been a person that many of you know. His name is George Prail, Mayor George Prail. Officer Friendly, before his time as mayor. And that's the way in which he governed as well. That's the way he served, really. Naperville, wonderful man, wonderful servant. Just love the way he lived life. He lived life full tilt. He really did. Busy, busy man. But he lived full tilt grounded. He worshiped here at Good Shepherd many times. And I remember seeing him in the back of our worship space with his Bible open, his well-worn pages of his Bible, and the words were underlined and highlighted and marked. You could tell he used it a lot. Some of our members were part of his prayer breakfast group. He could live life full tilt and busy because he was founded and he knew God's purpose for his life. That intersected here at Good Shepherd in a couple of very significant ways. One was many years ago when we broke ground for this space. We wanted that event to be more than just a few people with spades, just a few people. We knew that if this was going to succeed, everybody had to be all in. And so instead of just getting a few spades, what we did was we got an old plow. Got an old plow, and we did some calculating, and we decided that we would need, if everybody was going to be able to pull this old plow, this old horse-drawn plow, we needed a 600-foot rope. So that instead of just a few people with hands on a spade, we could have everybody with a hand on the rope so that all together we could pull together. Because the symbolism was this: if this was going to succeed by God's grace and God's giftedness, everybody had to be all in. It was a big commitment financially and time and everything else. Everybody had to be all in. And so we were looking for this 600-foot rope. And at the time, we had a family that was from Sandwich. And I went to them. I said, hey, Jim, we need a 600-foot rope. Can you bring your 600-foot rope? He said, why do you think I would have a 600-foot rope? I said, well, you're from Sandwich, right? He said, yes, I'm from Sandwich. Well, why do you think that a person from Sandwich would have a 600-foot rope? I said, well, do you? Well, as a matter of fact, I happen to have a 600-foot. So he brought his 600-foot rope, we attached it to the plow, and Mayor Pradel was going to be the one who was going to do the countdown so that we'd all pull together. Right then, the people who were working on our sound system were having trouble with it. They couldn't get it working. Mayor Pradel steps up and says, "I don't need a microphone." And I thought, oh, brother, this is not going to go well. But he didn't need a microphone. We heard every word, and not only did he do the countdown, 1, 2, 3, and we all took off, and we all pulled together, and by God's grace, this place was built. But we heard the words, the message that God gave to Mayor Pradel for our Good Shepherd community and our Naperville community that day. He talked about what a blessing this place would be, that this was sacred ground, not only for Good Shepherd, but for the whole community. Because not only would Good Shepherd people use it, but this space, the activity center, would be used for community groups. People, kids from the community would come in and play basketball or volleyball, and adults would as well. People would use that space for all kinds of things. This new space would be used for AA groups and Al-Anon and Boy Scouts and all kinds of community gatherings. This would be a great blessing. It would have a great impact on the Naperville community. And we all heard his words, microphone or not, crystal clear. Shortly after his visit, we received from the city of Naperville a bill. They called it impact tax, impact fee. Now, when Mayor Pradel was talking about a great impact we were going to have in the community, that's not what I envisioned. So I called him up and I said, "Hey, Mayor Pradel," and this was a big bill. There's a way more money than we had. And I said, "You remember what you said about that impact we're going to have?" Yeah, you sure are going to. I said, "Well, about this impact fee." He said, "Oh." I said, "Yeah, oh. Do you think that's appropriate? Since we're having such a great impact on the community of Naperville, then we're providing all these services, do you think that's really appropriate?" He said, "No, I don't." He went and pled our case to the Naperville City Council, and they revoked the impact fee, not only for Good Shepherd, but for all the other churches that had recent building programs because of the incredible impact that the space we were providing for community events was having, the positive impact it was having on the city of Naperville. He could live life full tilt because he knew his purpose, and it was aligned with God's vision for his life. As I thought about these people that we've talked about today, I couldn't help but think, how are we doing with our purpose, regardless of our vocation? How are we doing with our purpose in life?
I'm just a florist. Got a small shop. Nothing special. Silly way to spend your life, I guess, fussing with a bunch of flowers. Sometimes I wish I was good at something else. I don't know. A doctor or a missionary, someone who really helps people. But I do love flowers. I've always had a knack for it. So I do my best to make them beautiful for people. But I know flowers can't change the world. I know I don't make much of a difference. I'm just a florist. Thank you.
I'm just a florist.
Whatever your vocation, whatever it is that God has you busy doing, may your busyness be aligned with God's purpose for your life. We hope and pray that there will be enough margin between the red line of living life and God's purpose that this day, in your busyness, in your moments of silence and pondering, you might become realigned once again or affirmed in your alignment with God's purpose for who God created you to be. Would you pray with me? Gracious Lord, we thank you that you love us. You've known us since before we were born, and even then you are giving purpose to our living and to our lives. Lord, I thank you for each and every person here this day. I thank you that you love each and every one of us. You care deeply about us, so deeply that you give us meaning and significance and purpose in the living of our lives for the sake of others. Lord, help the great commandment, loving you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving our neighbors as ourselves. The great commission to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and sharing God's love and remembering all the things you've taught us to do. Let those be navigational tools that guide us in giving us direction and purpose to living. Lord, we thank you for this day and the blessings you've brought into our lives this day, new and fresh. In your name we pray. Amen.